You would get your Bibles and turn over to Mark the 14th chapter, Mark chapter 14. Be reading starting in verse 1 in just a moment. Good to see everybody this morning. I want to wish all the mothers here happy Mother's Day. And so good to see each of you. We've come here to honor Jesus Christ and to honor our Lord for what He did for us, giving His body and His blood on that cross and rising from the dead the third day, as we do every week. And we believe, as the Scriptures teach, that it is so important that we remember this every single week that we come together. As a nation, we choose that on this particular day of the year, we honor our mothers. And we do that as a nation because we believe that when someone gives of themselves like mothers do and make those great sacrifices that mothers do for their children, that should be honored. That there should be a memorial to those women to honor them and to thank them for all that they've done. You know, that's an important principle, that if someone makes a great sacrifice, they're to be honored. In Mark chapter 14, in the passage that we're about to read, we're going to read about one woman and something that she did. And this morning we're going to remember her for what she did because Jesus wanted us to. In fact, what this woman did was so special and so great, Jesus said that wherever the gospel would be preached in all the world, what this woman had done would be told of in memory of her. So in memory of this great woman this morning, we're going to look at what she did. A great sacrifice that she made. We're going to look at how Jesus honored her and what that means for our lives. Mark chapter 14 there in verse 1. Just giving you an idea, starting in verse 1, of when this was. After 2 days, it was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take Him by trickery and put Him to death. But they said, not during the feast, lest there should be an uproar of the people. So this is right before the Passover. This is right before that great supper that Jesus would, in which Jesus would institute the Lord's Supper, in which we just read about. So this is right before that. In verse 3, and being in Bethany, at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do to them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. So in fulfillment of those words of what Jesus said, we're going to talk about her today. There are two other accounts of what she did in Matthew chapter 26 and in John chapter 12. We also see this same account. In John chapter 12, John chapter 12 gives us a little bit more details as to who was at the feast and who this woman was. She is not named in Mark chapter 14, but in John chapter 12, we find that at the house in Bethany of Simon the leper, there was Martha and Lazarus gathered there. In fact, John chapter 12 sits in a pretty interesting place. It's right after Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11. So we read about Mary and Martha and Lazarus in John chapter 11, but then in John chapter 12, we have Mary, she's mentioned by name in John chapter 12, Mary is mentioned as the one who did this deed. And in John chapter 12, it says she poured the fragrant oil on his feet. Mark says on his head. Now there's way too many similarities, I think, between those two accounts for them to be different accounts. I think they're the same. But she poured this oil on his head and on his feet, and she honored him. The first thing I want us to notice about what Mary did, and I assume that this was Mary, the sister of Martha, since Lazarus and Martha are also there at table in John's account in John chapter 12. This could have been Mary Magdalene, but I assume it was Mary, the sister of Martha. We'll talk more about that a little bit later. But the thing that I want us to see, first of all, about what this woman did is that she made a great sacrifice. She poured a pint, some translations say a pound, of very costly fragrant oil on his head and on his feet. It is called spikenard. And spikenard or nard is a very costly fragrant essential oil derived from a plant in the honeysuckle family. It was prized in that society as one of the most prized fragrant substances. You can get a bottle, it's probably not as good a quality, but you can get a little bottle of essential oil on Amazon for $15 to $30, a little bitty bottle of it. But a pint of this, because that's how much she poured on his feet, a pint or a pound, as some translations say, was worth a year's wage in Bible times. She poured a year's wage on him. That's how much this cost. In fact, the disciples who are there and the other people that are there point this out. And in John's account, in John chapter 12, Judas is specifically the one that got onto her, saying this could have been sold for over 300 denarii and given to the poor. Now, a denarii back then was about a year's or about a day's wage. And so 300 denarii would be about 10 months wage, 10, 11 months wage. And they actually say that it could have been sold for over 300 denarii, so about a year's wage. What did she do? She poured out an entire year's worth of work on Jesus in one sitting. Imagine that. Now, there are some rich people, you know, who get a lot of, you know, they spend a year's wage on all sorts of things, you know, just at the drop of a hat, and they don't think about it. I'm guessing Martha and Mary, though, aren't that rich. She does have some money. I would have guessed that this would have taken a while to save for. It would have been a lot of money to purchase this. Imagine working for an entire year, though, and then just literally pouring that out all at one time. That's what she did. That's what she did. And it was a great sacrifice. Now, the disciples didn't see it that way. The disciples derided her, thinking it was a great waste. In fact, Judas, again, is the one, in John chapter 12, in that account, Judas is the one that got onto her. And in John's account, it actually says Judas didn't really care about the poor. He just wanted the money for himself because he used to take money out of the money bag. But they derided her, thinking that this was a great waste. And some people might have seen it that way. You know, some people today might see it that way, pouring out something like that. But Jesus actually says, she's done a good work for me. And the reason why this was such a great sacrifice, the reason why this was a good work, is because her sacrifice demonstrated the greatness of Jesus. Her sacrifice showed the disciples and all who were there that Jesus was someone truly special. Now, you don't just pour a year's worth of wages out on just anyone. You wouldn't do this to just anyone. And that's sort of the point. This is Jesus. This is the Son of God. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is worthy of all that we can give. We kind of see this in Jesus' statement here. There's something that Jesus says here that I want to focus on in verse 7. Remember, they were getting on to her because they said, well, this money could have been given to the poor. But in verse 7, he says, you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do to them good. But me, you do not have with you always. Now, I think there's two things Jesus is saying in that statement when he says, you don't have me with you always. I think, first of all, he's saying, guys, do you realize who is with you right now? Do you understand? And also, do you understand that you're not going to have me here always? He's alluding to his death, by the way. And that's what he says in the next verse. And I want to go into it in just a moment. But just think about that first point for just a moment. Do you think the people that were sitting there at table that day, and the home of Simon the leper, do you think those people fully comprehended who was sitting there with them right then? Well, I can't say exactly what was going on in all of their minds. Many of them were still putting the pieces together. They didn't really understand Jesus was going to die and then be resurrected. They didn't understand fully his plan. They had come a long ways, though. But I'm going to tell you what, if there was anybody that day in that group of people and that house, if there was anybody that understood the greatness of Jesus, it was Mary. And she showed that by what she did. Also, by what she did, it's interesting what Jesus said. He says, by doing this, she has come beforehand in verse 8 of Mark chapter 12, or Mark chapter 14. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Now, commentators take that two different ways. I tend to think that it's possible she might have known Jesus was going to die. I mean, Jesus had been, if you read Mark's account especially, Jesus had been telling his disciples on several occasions what he's about to do. He'll just tell them, look, Son of Man is going to die. He's going to be delivered into the hands of sinners. He's going to rise the third day. It went over a lot of their heads. But Mary could have actually been listening to what he was saying. Because Jesus said, she's done this to anoint my body for burial. In other words, what he's saying, she's doing something that people often do with dead bodies. She's anointing the dead. And he's as good as dead because that's what he's about to do. Now, some people think she really didn't know that he was going to die, that she didn't have that in her mind. But God was using that as a teaching moment. Either way, the point that Jesus is making was this. What she did here, it's significant because it's foreshadowing what I'm about to do. And this, again, is another one of those moments where Jesus is trying to tell them, look, guys, here's what's about to happen to me. Jesus is about to do the single greatest deed that anybody has ever done and anybody ever will do in history. He's going to give his life for the sins of the world. And while the disciples are sitting over there thinking, well, they're criticizing her, thinking, well, we could have sold this and given it to the poor. He's saying, guys, what she just did, it's showing you what's about to happen to me. Jesus is going to be betrayed into the hand of sinners. He's going to be spat upon. He's going to be mocked and reviled and scourged. He's going to be nailed to a cross and die and then be buried. And what she did was foreshadowing that. Let me ask you something. Do we see the Jesus that Martha saw on that day? Do we see the greatness of Jesus Christ? Do we see how precious He is? And are we grateful to Him, truly grateful for all that He has done for us? You know, something else that John's account shows that I find interesting, John's account in John chapter 12 comes right after John chapter 11. In John chapter 11, if this is the Mary that is the Mary, the sister of Martha, in John chapter 11, Jesus had just raised her brother from the dead. Some people have pointed out that it's possible one of the things that motivated her to doing such a great deed was because she was just so grateful for what Jesus had done. He just raised her brother from the dead back in John chapter 11. And so this to her might have been just a small way of thanking Him for doing something that was truly priceless. Jesus gave His life for us. And He gave His life for us in a way that was so gruesome and torturous. But He did that for us. Are we grateful for that? And does that gratitude that we have for Jesus, does that vision, does that picture we have of the greatness of Jesus, does that motivate us to make sacrifices for Him in our lives? It motivated Mary. Her sacrifice demonstrated the greatness of Jesus. But you know, it also demonstrated something else. It demonstrated her devotion to Jesus. You know, the disciples might have criticized her that day, but no one was going to question this woman's devotion to Jesus Christ. This gift that she did, this gift that she gave, what she did, it showed that she was 100% committed to Jesus. Because that's what sacrifices do, by the way. If you care about something and you're devoted to something or someone, you make sacrifices for them. Those of you who are mothers, you know that about your children. You make sacrifices for them. Because you care about them, because you're devoted to them, because you love them. And so that's what this sacrifice that she made shows. She was 100% committed to Jesus. And by the way, we already see this a little bit in her life in another account, how devoted she was. If this is indeed Martha, the sister, or Mary, the sister of Martha, There's really one other account where we have some details about her. And that account and this account show her dedication to Jesus. In Luke chapter 10, if you would turn over there in Luke chapter 10, and verse 38, I want to read this because this shows you once again the mind and the attitude that Mary had towards Jesus. That she wasn't just half in when it came to following him. She was all in. 100% committed. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She also had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words." Now Mary, in this occasion, got criticized as well because she wasn't helping Martha with the housework. In verse 40, Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." What do we see her doing in this passage? We see herself 100% focused on Jesus. We see that commitment demonstrated here and in Mark chapter 14. That Jesus was everything to her. That's what sacrifices do. They demonstrate that we're devoted to something. And when we're not willing to make sacrifices for something that we say we care about, then it really shows we don't care much about it. That's what sacrifices do. So I want to ask you this morning, what do our sacrifices demonstrate? The sacrifices that we make in our lives, what do they say about us? You know, we live in a culture that loves the easy way. Our culture and our society does not like the word sacrifice. That's kind of a bad word because that means pain, it means losing something, it means giving up things that are valuable to you. We're a lazy, self-centered society that's always asking, what's the least amount I can do to get by? And there's some people who claim to follow God who are that way. People say, well, what's the least amount that I can give every Sunday and be right in the sight of God? What's the least amount of times that I have to go to worship in order to be pleasing to God? And see, if we're asking those questions, we're already in the wrong mindset. Because they show us that we're not committed. That we're not willing to make sacrifices, even the smaller ones in our sight to the greater ones. That we'll want to just do the least amount we can in order to get by. But let me ask you this. What good is our religion to us if we're not willing to make sacrifices for it? People want Christianity to be the easy religion. The religion that gives the most but requires the least cost. But the Bible describes something much different in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Turn over there with me and look at what Paul says about how our lives are supposed to be. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Paul says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." As Christians, our whole bodies are to be presented as a living sacrifice. And the sacrifices that we make in our lives for God, they show us what we truly think about Jesus, and they show us how truly committed we are to Him. When we're willing to part with something or deny ourselves of anything of value to us because we love Jesus, that says something. For instance, when we resist sin in our lives, when we say no to sin because Jesus is greater, we're not just following a command to not do something or to do something. And yes, we are doing that, but we're not just doing that. We're showing what's most important in our lives. When we say no to sin and we deny ourselves of things that we want to do, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, when we deny ourselves of those things because Jesus is greater and more important to us, that's showing what we think about Jesus. When we take the time to care for someone in need, when we pour out our time, our money, and our energy into people, especially people who can't give us much or if anything in return, we're honoring Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 25 and verse 40, what did He say? Inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. When we sacrifice our time and our focus to come together as we've done this morning, to honor Jesus in His death on the cross, to sing praises to Him, to study His Word, to pray to Him, to give back to Him, that says something about what we think of God. That says something about what we think of Jesus. When we make financial sacrifices, when we give generously as we've been prospered on the first day of the week, or when we consistently help people who are in need, even though others might not see that, that says something to God about how important He is to us. You know, there are many of you here who have been Christians for years and years and years, and every Sunday morning you've come and you've put something in that offering plate. And because you have the right attitude, you may have never thought of how much money you've given away in your lifetime just by coming here every first day of the week. But you know what? If you were to add that up, you would see the sacrifice that you've made. It may not seem that as much every week, coming and putting a check in, but it's a sacrifice. It's something that we're giving up because we're devoted to Jesus. Because we want to serve Him. Because we want to honor Him. When you mothers give everything for your children and you pour your heart and soul into your children to raise them right and to lead them in the ways of the Lord and to take care of them, that's pleasing to God. That says something about what you think of Jesus too. That honors Him. When I give up or deny myself of anything that would otherwise be of value to me for Jesus, it shows my devotion to Him and it shows that I value Him. Sacrifices show something. They demonstrate something. There's a movie that I really like. It's called Fireproof. Have y'all ever seen Fireproof? Some of y'all I know have seen the movie Fireproof. It's one of those religious movies, and it's about marriage in particular. And this man and this woman, they've had a bad marriage for a long time, and they're about to get a divorce, about to separate, and just come to that head. And the man in the story is approached by this guy, and he's he's given this thing called the love dare to try and win his life, to try and win his wife back and repair their relationship. And the love dare has him do all sorts of good things for her, to make all sorts of little sacrifices here and there for her. And you know, when he first starts doing it, she just thinks, "Oh, he's just putting on a big facade. He's not really, he doesn't really mean it. He's not 100% committed." So throughout the movie, she starts flirting with this other guy. Now, one thing you realize in the movie is a couple of things. This guy had been saving up for years in a little savings account over here. He had been saving up for years for a boat. He always wanted a great big old boat. One, another thing you learn about the woman is that she has some needy parents. They're getting really old and they're needed of a lot of assistance. And so toward the end of the movie, she finds out that someone donated a bunch of money and helped her parents and got some things that they really needed that cost a lot of money. It was really expensive. And she thought for a while it was the guy that she was flirting with, this doctor. She thought it was the doctor for a long time. But then toward the end of the movie, she realizes that it was actually her husband who gave that money out of his boat fund. There's a bunch of money in order to help her parents. And it's then and there that a turn, that's really where there's a turn in the movie. And it's at that moment where she realizes that her husband he really is legit. He really wants to repair our relationship. He really does love me. But she thought it was all fake before that. But it was that great sacrifice that he made that proved to her his love. What do the sacrifices that we make in our lives demonstrate about us? What are they saying of Jesus Christ? And what are they saying about our devotion? You know, one of the greatest sacrifices that a person could ever make is to count the cost of following Jesus and then confessing with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, repenting of their sins, and being buried in baptism to rise and walk of newness of life to commit their lives to Jesus. That's the beginning, but that's a sacrifice. That's saying, hey, I want to follow Jesus. I'm all in on this. I want to be saved. And I want to do whatever it takes to be with Him forever. Have you done that this morning? Have you made that commitment to Jesus by believing in Him, that He died and rose from the dead? Have you made that good confession? We read about in Romans 10 and verse 10. Have we repented of our sins? Because that's a big sacrifice right there. Choosing in our mind first that we're going to put away the old man of sin. The Bible calls that a type of death. Paul said in Colossians 3 verse 5, put to death your members that are on the earth. Put those things behind you. Give them up for something greater. Have you done that? Have you been immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, as we read about in Acts 2, verse 38, Mark 16, and verse 16, and so many other places? And if you have not done that, and if you have not committed yourself to King Jesus, then won't you do that this morning? And if you've done that, and your life has not looked like the living sacrifice that it's supposed to look like, you can change that today. If you need to recommit yourself to God, you could do that today. And if you need to do so publicly and make some need known so that we can pray for you and help you along your way, won't you come as we stand and as we sing the song that our brother has selected, Prepare to Meet Thy God.